Pastor in the congregation of Harpeth Baptist Church in Kingston Springs, Tennessee, would like to welcome you to today's podcast. Remember, you can always find out more about Harpeth Baptist Church online at harpethbaptist.org. Let's join Pastor Chance Strickland for today's message.
Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful for this time of thanksgiving. We're thankful for Your Word. Lord, as we come today to look to Your Word to help us, we ask for Your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you today about being thankful. Be thankful. You already all are thankful, so I told you, see, you messed me up here. But as we go, sometime this week, you're all going to gather with some family at some place, and you're going to have a feast. I mean, I don't know how exactly you all do it, but that's the gist of what's going to happen, what we call Thanksgiving Day. My sermon today is intended to help you as you go through this day of Thanksgiving to truly be thankful. You see, there are many distractions to what the day was originally established to be. It was established to be a day to don't go to work, a day to not go out, a day just to stay home with those you love, and you all together thank God for His bounty, His blessings on you and your family. And as humans do, we have brought that a lot more into it. And being the typical Baptist pastor that I am, I've given your distractions to you this morning in three alliterated points. Food, family, and football. Those are the things that will distract you on Thanksgiving Day. So I want to talk to you about being thankful today and not allowing things to distract you. Now, I'm not saying don't eat, right? But if you're like me, you get a little bit hangry. I got a little... We did our Tennessee Thanksgiving at my house yesterday, and they waited till 3 o'clock to eat, and I was like, come on, I got to eat here. I was getting a little antsy. And my wife said, I was getting worried. Said, you got a little hangry there. But the food can become a distraction if we're not careful. The family. How many of you have family that you're glad they're family and all, but you just assume that you're happy you could be family from a distance? Anybody have something like that? Right? Okay, yeah, we all have some of those. I'm glad none of my family raised their hands, so that's good. I feel good about me this morning. And then football just makes a good alliteration. Yours may be. My distraction on Thanksgiving Day is we go down, we have it in Georgia, and they get the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, which is like the Tennessean, but it's about this thick on Thanksgiving Day because it's full of all those sales papers. And we get about 14 of those, and we all sit around, we flip through the sales papers on Thanksgiving Day, and that's what we do. It's just the part of the fun. So whatever your distraction may be, I want to encourage you today, while you're enjoying those things, to still be thankful. Still take some time to back away from all of that, from the whole what all Thanksgiving has become, and it's Black Friday, and, who plays who's playing on Thanksgiving? Dallas always plays somebody, and Detroit plays Dallas? Okay. Detroit plays somebody else. Yeah. So whatever it is for you, back away from that for just a little bit and be thankful. Thank God for all He's done for us. You may need to be the one in your family that causes this to happen. And it's important that you do that, that you have a prayer of thanksgiving. Maybe you go around the room in your home and say, what are you thankful for this year? And allow everybody just a short amount of time to say, I'm thankful for this or I'm thankful for that. It's so important that we do that. I'm thankful that we have the opportunity to worship together here in church. I'm thankful that we did worship this morning and offered up our thanksgiving with our mouths. That's exactly what worship is. When we define it within the theme of what we're talking about today, worship is essentially just the giving of thanks. And that's what we did here this morning. Just as I want you to be thankful in your homes this week, weekly, as we gather together, I want you to be thankful. A.W. Tozer is quoted in saying, worship is the missing jewel in the church. And I would say that's the case in most churches, but I want our church to be a church that can't be said about. I'm going to go to a church. I'm going to raise my family in a church that can't be said about. Well, what's the point? I mean, what are we doing if we meet here and we don't worship? So I want to share with you this morning Psalm 100 as we look to this. Now I'm going to begin in verse 3 and then handle verse number 5. Then we'll back up to verse 1. I know that's backwards and I'm probably messed up the poetry of the psalm here, but it makes it work for me in my brain this way. So that's how I want to give it to you. Verse number 3, as we look at be thankful. Verse 3 gives us the tangible reasons to be thankful. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves, we are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. We can be thankful because He is God. David's writing this as a renunciation of all other gods. David is saying He is God, meaning He is God alone. There is no other God but Him. Just as the Israelites chanted after the showdown at Mount Carmel in 1 Kings 18, they said, Yahweh, He is God, or the Lord, He is God. David writes here and says, the Lord, He is God. He is to be praised for who He is, not simply for what He has done. He's God, and that's enough. Well, many of us here this morning testified of things that we're thankful for that God has done in our life, and I bless the name of the Lord for that. But even at times when you can't find anything good that God has done for you, you can still thank Him for being God, for who He is, not just what He has done. So be thankful for the tangible things, that He is God. Secondly, that He made us. We can be thankful as we rest in the fact that He is Creator. We are not autonomous. We are not self-sufficient. We are the creation and therefore dependent upon Him for everything. I like that fact. Do you remember what it was like to be a child and dependent upon your parents for everything? There's a security in that. Security in that you miss as an adult because you become the adult that the children depend upon for everything. Love the fact that God is our Creator. He is God. He made us. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. You know, being thankful that He made us is a lot. But it goes further than that when we think that we are His people. We're not only created, we were redeemed. That's special. That's more than the animals. That's more than the earth. That's more than the angels. We were created, but we were also redeemed. Now this writing here in Psalm 100 applies first to Israel, called out of Egypt. But for you and I, it carries a further meaning as it speaks to the fact of all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All we like sheep who had gone astray are now the sheep of his pasture. Isn't that wonderful? To think of a sheep that has gone astray and now the sheep of his pasture. Isaiah 40 teaches us that the good shepherd will feed his flock. He will gather the lambs with his arm. He will carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead those who are with young. We can be thankful today that we are his people. Verse 3 gives us these tangible things. If we skip ahead to verse number 5, we get some intangible reasons to be thankful. Now, when I was a child, I liked tangible things. I liked things that I could put in my hands and be happy about. As an adult, I prefer the intangible because I've learned as I've come along that just because I can hold it in my hand doesn't make it mine. Someone can take it from me. But those things that are intangible, those things that I can't hold in my hand but I can still have, you can't mess with that. You can't take that from me. It's a wonderful thing. And that's what verse 5 gives us here. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. He is good. God is seen as good in His moral character. His moral character leads to His benevolence toward you and I. That's a cause to be thankful. Aren't you thankful to know, as we illustrated here, blessings going up? Aren't you thankful that God's benevolence comes down? I don't know the sign for that, but I'm thankful that God is good and that He wants to do good toward you and I. It's wonderful. His mercy is everlasting. God has made a covenant with us that He will never revoke nor abandon. If you understand anything about covenants, you understand that a covenant is made a covenant through a death. We've got a covenant with God, sealed in blood. God will never revoke. God will never abandon this covenant. He fulfilled this covenant in Jesus, giving us an eternal inheritance. Put those words together in your brain. An eternal. That's a lot of time. It's more than time, isn't it? We can only think of it in matters of time, but it's not even a measure of time. An eternal inheritance. An inheritance is a good thing. We all look forward to somebody dying so we get an inheritance, don't we? That was a joke. Of course, we don't look forward to anyone dying. But an eternal inheritance. Hebrews 9:15. And for this cause, He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. We can be thankful this morning because His mercy is everlasting. You ever feel like you've worn it out? You ever say, well, that's, I promised to never do this again, and He forgave me, but here I am again. But every time, what do you find? His mercy is everlasting. And then the tangible or the intangible goes farther than that. Not only is He good, not only is His mercy everlasting, but His truth endureth. God and His self-revelation, His Word, can be counted on. Those before us counted on. Even those who just had parts of it, didn't have it bound like we do, the completed canon, but they counted on it. You and I, we count on it. We have the Bible ever before us and we count on it. But best of all, His truth endureth to all generations. All of those after us can count on it as well. I'm glad to know that I'm counting on something that my children can count on, that their children can count on, that their children can count on, that it'll never change, that it'll never go away because forever it's been settled in heaven. I'm so thankful that His truth endureth. So whether tangible, intangible, or both, we have cause to be thankful. David writes then that because we need to be thankful, that we should express our thanks in what you and I call worship. Let's back up now to verse number 1. The first element of worship we encounter as we learn to be thankful is being joyful. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Now, we always focus on the noise part. We realize we've not sung very well. We want to talk about, the Bible says, make a joyful noise. But noise is not the key there. It's joyful. Joyful. We should be joyful in our worship. Joyful noise in worship is a shout of triumph or a battle cry. If you spend your Saturdays like I do a lot of times watching these sports teams play football, the team that wins is joyful. They shout that shout of triumph. They just can't believe that they've overcome their opposition and won the game. And as silly as that is, you see some of the most joyful people. They scan around those stadiums. And the side that's losing, they'll be crying. They're so upset. The men are all, they've got their hats in their hands, and they're shaking their heads. Fire the coach, they all say. And the ladies are crying, and some of the men are crying. And you get to the other side where one side's winning, and they're all just like, yes, we beat you guys. We're the best ever. And they're joyful. And it's something just as silly as a game that won't matter a week from now. David writes here, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Joyful. Being joyful is the action in worship. It's a shout of triumph, a battle cry. So we continue to verse number 2. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. Gladness. Joyful is the action. Gladness is the attitude in worship. Worship cannot only be the joyful action, there must also be a proper attitude. See, you can come in and pretend to be joyful. You can shout triumph because we are triumphant, because He has won. We can shout triumph even when we've lost in this life because we've won in the next. That's the action. But it's best in worship when you have the action of joyfulness with the attitude of gladness. The text says, serve the Lord with gladness. Now, we need not think of that as come in here joyful and go out and serve with gladness. It's all talking about in here when we worship. Serve is to minister unto. It goes back to that sign. What we send up, our praises that go up toward heaven, we are to do that with gladness in our heart. Not only the right actions, but the right attitude. We can only do this when we do it with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. You ever been around someone who whistled or hummed when they were happy? You ever been not happy and that person annoyed you? Hopefully you don't get annoyed in church when someone else is happy. You just need to be happy with them. We talked about that last week. You know, that's the same idea behind the singing that we encounter here in Psalm 100. When we gladly give ourselves fully to God in worship, our shout turns into a song. Immediately when I say that, I say to myself, but I'm not a singer. I don't like to sing. I love to hear music, but I don't want to sing. I will sing. And you guys show up to lead the music, I'll get up here and I'll sing. And if I'm on a really good day, I might even do my hand. Probably not, but I might. But then I'm reminded that I have a new song in my heart. You see, I'm not happy because I sing. I can't help but sing because I'm happy. I've been made new. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. We must be careful in our thinking of worship thus far. You see, our song does not create our gladness. It merely expresses our gladness. So we continue on there in verse number 4. It says, to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. That resorts back to our attitude. We can go through the motions of worship, and all the while it can still be meaningless. We have the right motions, but we have the wrong motives. We have the right actions, but we have the wrong attitudes. Make sure that you have your motive right, your attitude right. As we enter His gates, whether that be the back doors of this building, whether that be your prayer closet, whatever place that you find to worship, we are to have an attitude of gratitude. And into His courts with praise. Gates and courts here is a reference to the outer gates and the inner courts of the Old Tabernacle, the Old Testament tabernacle, and even more so the temple in Jerusalem. Just as much as the outer gates should be approached with thanksgiving in our hearts, the inner courts should be braved with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. At the heart of our worship should be the fact that we're thankful. Be thankful this morning. Continue to be thankful. You all have been very thankful. You've made me thankful. Y'all preached a nice sermon to me this morning. But continue to be thankful. Next Sunday, when it's not Thanksgiving, when it's Christmas, and you've got the scars and the black eyes from the Black Friday shopping, be thankful. Our gratitude, our thankfulness should spill over into blessing. Bless His name. To bless God's name is to praise Him for who He is. As He relates to us. Hopefully, I've given you enough here from Psalm 100 to help you to be thankful. I want to finish today by bringing your attention back to verse number 1. Those last three words of verse number 1. What does it say? All ye lands. We should all be thankful. David writing this to Israel. It would have been heard and read and thought about by Israelites. David is saying, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, not just Israel. All you lands, everyone. We should all be thankful.
Thank you for listening today. If you have questions about this ministry or would like to know more about becoming a Christian, please contact us. We can be reached online at harpethbaptist.org or by phone at 615-378-1136. Please join us again next week for another Bible sermon from Harpeth Baptist Church.